everyone. Welcome to the Tony Time podcast. On today's podcast, I've invited my past bride, Libby, to talk about her autumnal wedding plans. Libby and David got married last autumn here in the UK, and I have to say they were so lucky with the weather. It was an absolutely gorgeous day. These guys were like the DIY queens, so we have loads of tips and tricks for you guys planning an autumnal wedding. But we're also talking about nightmare dress fittings, how Libby used social media to find exactly what she wanted, and also alternative wedding evenings. So hi Libby, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you on. It's nice to like chat about everyone's wedding days, especially now that people aren't really getting married.
I'm excited to talk about it because I do love talking about it.
Does it feel weird actually, like once you've got married, is it like, obviously it's all over, do you feel like you kind of want to talk about it a bit more now that it's like you spent so long doing it and then it's done? And
well, it's reliving it, isn't it? And then
I
like talking about it when I was planning it, and I like talking about it after as well, because it feels like it's extending it a little bit as well.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
But I'm kind of glad that I'm not planning it now, so times now, but I really enjoyed it at the time.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So let's talk about you and David. So how did you and David meet?
Me and David, we went to the same same CrossFit gym. But I didn't really speak to him at the gym. He seemed quite quiet and not very approachable to me. Just like, oh, like, that's a good looking guy, but didn't really think much of it because he was just so quiet. And then I went out on Christmas Eve with some of the guys actually from CrossFit.
Yeah.
And we ended up in Smackwater Jacks.
Oh, yeah. Good old Smacks.
Yep. And then David was there with his friends at the top. He says his usual spot with his friends.
Yeah.
Like the lads that I were with from CrossFit started talking to him, and I got involved and started talking to him. And he actually spoke.
Oh, right.
It was weird because at other times when we've been in group conversations, he did not say anything to me.
He is quite quiet though, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, he can be until you get to know him, and then,
can't shut him up.
So, we just chatted to him and didn't really think much of it because he left early on Christmas Eve. So I just thought, oh, that were a nice chat. That was about it. Added him on Facebook, just being friendly.
Yeah.
But I think he saw it as a bit of an invitation to message me that I might actually be interested in him.
All right.
He never added people on Facebook. He made a point of it. He messaged me on, I think it was the day after Boxing Day, I think, because I went out Boxing Day night single, so I was out all the time.
Yeah.
So I went out Boxing Day night, and I got in at about 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning, and then I was at a class at CrossFit at 10 o'clock, fine, because I don't get hangovers. And he was like looking at me going, I can't believe you got in at 5 and you're at this class. I'm like, yeah, it's fine. And then I got a message a bit later saying something like, I think you're an alien.
That's a good pickup line.
Yeah, I think you're an alien. How can you not get hangovers or something like that? I was like, okay.
I don't get hangovers either, and people find it really weird.
Yeah. I do if I drink Prosecco, so I try to avoid Prosecco if I can. Don't really get them.
No.
At all.
No.
So
I thought you were an alien, and then you just kind of hit it off from there.
Okay. And then we messaged each other back, and they went back and forth, and the messages got longer and longer and longer, to the point where I had to go on my computer to write back to him because they were literal essays. And then it got to New Year's Eve, and we both weren't doing anything. And one of our friends from CrossFit again said, what are you doing New Year's Eve? Like, oh, not really got many plans. And he was like, oh, well, do you want to come to this party, this barn party? We're like, yeah, all right. Can David come along? Because he's got no plans either, because they were mutual friends. And he was like, yeah, of course, invite him. And we didn't kiss at midnight, though. We kissed at about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Uh-huh.
So that was our first kiss. So there were loads of people at this barn party, lots of people from CrossFit. They ended up leaving, and we were there until like 5 o'clock in the morning. just us two by ourselves, just talking.
That's when you know you found someone that you get on with really well, yeah. Isn't it?
Yeah, so we were just talking. We got home, we shared a taxi. We were chatting then, text messaging until I don't know what time, still that morning. Drunken messages. And then, yeah, literally from there, I went round New Year's Day, met his parents, and then...
No way. You met his parents, like, the day after?
Yeah, the day after.
No
like,
way.
I went to his house, went to his parents' house, and he was like, I can tell them to stay in the kitchen if you want, and you don't have to meet them. I was like, no, it's fine, I'll meet them. And yeah. Then, yeah, met Janet and Les.
Oh, right, wow.
Met his sister as well. From there, we saw each other all the time.
Yeah.
Back and forth.
So how long after you guys were together did you then get engaged?
A couple of years, definitely. Maybe two and a half years, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So was it a romantic proposal?
Well, the weekend before the proposal, I'd gone to see Gary Barlow with my mum.
Yeah.
So I'd been out all day because I went to Manchester with my mum. We had a day of it and then a night of it, and I got home late. And as I got home, he was like, I've missed you. I went, oh, okay. Because he's not, like I said, he's quite quiet and he's not very, gushy with stuff.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, okay, yeah, miss you too. I've only been out for the day, but okay. And then that was that. And then the weekend after, we'd actually spent time apart because I'd had to go into work on the weekend because we were busy at work. And he went on the Otley Run with his friends and stayed overnight.
That's like a pub crawl, isn't it?
Yeah, pub crawl Otley, so with his friends. So didn't see him all Saturday, didn't see him for most of Sunday, but he picked me up from my mum's because I'd just gone to my mum's, and he picked me up and we got home, and I got into the house and just pottering around. And I went into the kitchen where he was and I was like, oh, have you missed me? Just taking a bit because of the week before. And he was like, yeah, I have. And I was like, oh, okay. And he was like, I've got something for you. And I was like, what? Oh. You've got something for me. He starts reading around his pocket. I was like, what the hell's he got for me when he's been on the Otley Run? What is it going to be?
Like a beer mat or something.
Yeah. What? And then he just got down on one knee in the kitchen.
No way.
I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. And I just kept repeating, oh my God.
Yeah.
And didn't really say anything apart from, oh my God. He's like, well, is that a yes then? And I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So it wasn't romantic as such, like there were no roses or anything, but it was totally out of the blue because we had Madrid planned for that year in September. We'd had Tokyo in the, I think, June, July that year. So, yeah, it was like me and my friends were like, he's going to do it. He's going to propose to you. When you're away, it'll either be Tokyo or it'll be Madrid. And I'm like, no, it'll be Madrid. It'll definitely be Madrid. When he proposed, it was
complete surprise.
Yeah, completely.
That's so nice. I feel like that's so David as well, completely unexpected.
Yeah. And I think he got quite nervous about it. And obviously, being out with his mates.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was David, and it was it was lovely. And the ring, he designed it with the person who got it made, and he'd asked my dad as well if he could marry me, and he'd spoken to my mum first to get my ring size and ask her as well, and
yeah,
he did it all right.
Yeah,
it's just in the kitchen.
Do you think he just couldn't wait, or do you think he always wanted that element of surprise?
I think he wanted to do it the weekend before, but the ring wasn't ready.
Right.
But yeah, I don't think he wouldn't. He said he didn't dare do it on holiday because he'd be worrying about the ring. Where would he keep the ring? Would he lose it? And the anxiety would get to him. But I don't think he ever planned anything romantic. It was just like, I'll get down on one knee. I'll do all the stuff like ask your parents, but
we're going to do it in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Why not, though?
Exactly.
So what month was this that you got engaged?
So that were May. Oh, what? Yeah, we're in May now. So May the 13th.
May the 13th.
Yeah.
So was that 2 years? That was a year, 18 months before you got married then?
Yeah. So how long? So that were 2 years ago. And we got married last year in October 2019. So, yeah. We didn't. David said he wanted a long engagement. after we got married, by the way. Not really? Yeah. I was like, I don't know. But I'm kind of glad we didn't have this long engagement that he envisioned. He told me after we got married, though, not before. So I don't think we would have had a long engagement. Well, it's not that long, really, or that short.
No, I think it's probably quite, like, middle ground, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's average. Like, we waited more than a year, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So did you know what month you wanted to get married in, or what season, or did you kind of like have a think about that after you got engaged?
No, I knew for a fact I didn't want to get married in summer because I don't do well in heat, hence the curly hair. If my hair gets warm, just even a tiny bit, I knew for a fact it would just go full Monica and frizz. That was out of the question. And yeah. Also, if it's not in summer, if it's hot, or if it's not, then you're disappointed when it's not. And I just kind of wanted to get married in a season where you can expect any. So it was either going to be spring or autumn, but I love autumn. Like, I love the colours, as you probably know. Like, I love, my favourite colour is green. And then just the leaves and then the reds. And yeah, I love everything about autumn. I'm like, basic.
Well, when you said you were getting married in autumn, I was like, oh my God, you are so going to suit autumn because you've got the best colour hair for autumn. It's like Albany red. It's just gorgeous. And it really did suit autumn, didn't it?
Yeah. So I just love everything about it. And then autumn, if you get a good day, it was perfect the day, weather. And the weather, it was supposed to rain. I think it did rain, but when the speeches were happening.
Yeah.
But you can get really nice, like, crisp days where it's sunny, but and it's just a bit warm, but my hair doesn't freeze. Yeah. And I love those days.
So when you started wedding planning, obviously, I'm presuming the first thing you started looking at was wedding venues.
Yes.
Did you know what kind of venue you were looking for, or did you look at a couple of venues, or?
Yeah, so I wanted a very, like, rustic-y feel to it. I didn't want formal at all, but we knew we wanted a venue that was within an hour of, like, home, just for family reasons and making sure family could get there. We didn't want to have to do, like, a massive travel. And I wanted somewhere that had a good possible outdoor space, but a good indoor space, because if the weather was awful, I wanted the indoor to have character. Because I would get married I wanted to get married in autumn. So if the weather was terrible, it had to be almost like pictures could be taken inside and it would look lovely, as well as getting pictures outside and it would look lovely.
Yeah.
So that was the idea that I had in my head. But trying to fit that, I was like, how am I going to find this? But we went to a wedding fair at Stonyhurst. They do a big wedding fair.
Yeah.
And we went to that. We went down to, after we went down to the Shireburn, just to have a look because it was close. Not to have the wedding there, but just to have a look at the vendors there.
Yeah.
And also, I used to work at the Shireburn a long time ago. Yeah, a very long time ago, when I was like 14 to 18. So I knew what it was and what it looked like. And I knew I didn't want to get married there. It's lovely. And the views are lovely outside, but inside wasn't what I wanted. It had that formal feel. And then my friend Mel, told me about a venue, Brugem. So told me about Brugem because her sister got married there. Well, her sister had her wedding reception there. So I was like, oh, well, that's close to here-ish.
Yeah.
When we were at the Shireburn. Can we just pop over and have a look, David? So we went over because it's all in the Ribble Valley, isn't it? And I saw it and I just fell in love. Like, the inside of it with the stone walls, it was perfect inside. And then outside as well, the grounds are, like, phenomenal. Like, and the lake as well.
Yeah.
Just beautiful. And there were a cat there as well, and David really liked the cat.
So that sold it for David. I love it how guys are so easily won over. Like, my last bride I spoke to, Sophie, her husband-to-be got a mimosa as he entered the venue, and it was like, sold.
Easily pleased, definitely. So we got there, and we were just like, yeah, I think this is the one. But we arranged to go and have a proper meetup because we just walked in and
yeah,
like it wasn't really open. So we organised to go and see it properly with Rebecca. And yeah, we had a look round and decided from there that we wanted it there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a really, really nice, like you say, it's like a barn. It's not got really got any windows, has it? So it's quite like cozy and it's all stone walls. So it gives you like the option to sort of decorate it however you want, doesn't
it? Exactly. Yeah. It's like a blank canvas.
Yeah.
And you just add the bits to it. And I think that's the reason why I didn't know it were raining during like the speeches. Because there's no windows. So you didn't have like the gloomy day, like the gloomy part of the day, like showing in the wedding.
You got married there as well, didn't you? So did you always plan to have a civil ceremony at your venue? Or
yes, so David's not really religious, and it would, like, although getting married in a church would be lovely for the pictures, I think that's totally the wrong reason to get married in a church. Like, if it's just, oh, I want to do it for the pictures,
That's like, not really
when
ideal.
There's a religious aspect to it, it just is totally wrong. So yeah, we decided we wanted a civil ceremony, and so that was another factor to the venue, that I wanted something photographable, if that's a word.
Photogenic
inside. Literally ticked all the boxes.
So
always a civil ceremony.
And it also meant as well that you didn't have to like travel around, because you got ready there in the morning as well, didn't you?
Yes, exactly. So it had the Muse Cottage where you could get ready, and then you could go in and you could book the Muse Cottage as I think it was 6 months in advance, and I was literally there on the dot the 19th I think, was it the 19th of April? Yeah, 19th of April I was on the phone booking that to make sure that I had somewhere to get ready, just in case there were another wedding wanting to book in for the night before. So I booked that. And so literally if it was bad weather, I only had to walk that tiny bit to get to, so the rain didn't hit my hair. And also getting married in one spot, you didn't have the travel if the weather was bad.
Yeah. And all your guests are like undercover all day. And obviously because you're so enclosed in the barn, like you say, you just feel all cozy all day anyway. So it didn't really matter.
Exactly.
So you've booked your venue. So then what happened? What did you look at next?
Booked the venue, and then I think, to be honest, I went through a patch of feeling very overwhelmed by it all, because we booked the venue and I was like, oh my god, I've got a wedding to plan now, there's so much, because I went through a list of everything that I'd sought out, and to be honest, I didn't get chance, because it happened so quickly, that booking of the venue, I didn't get chance to actually enjoy being engaged.
You just went into full-on wedding planning mode.
Yeah, exactly. And it did get a bit overwhelming. So I was like, no. And me and David talked, we're going to have a month off and we're going to enjoy our engagement. Just no thinking about weddings, just enjoy the engagement. So
that's such a good idea.
Yeah. And I really would recommend it to people, to just take that time for just the two of you to enjoy being engaged and celebrate it with your friends and family. Because I did a bit of that as well.
Yeah.
We didn't have an engagement party. Me and David went for a really nice meal, and just the two of us. Yeah. So we did that for about a month. And then I think I was fine after that. I was like, right, get my head, like planning head on now. I can do it.
Yeah.
And I love a spreadsheet. Absolutely.
Oh, I love a spreadsheet.
Love a spreadsheet with the tabs and the formulas. Like, so I was like, right, creating a spreadsheet. We'd sorted out wedding insurance, because I would always say, first thing you sort out, wedding insurance, especially at the moment. But
yeah,
wedding insurance was sorted out.
I think, I think that's something that a lot of people don't hear about or don't even think about.
No, it is actually surprising. I've spoken to a few of my friends and they was like, oh, I've just got wedding insurance, I didn't think to get it. I was like, oh, really? I was like, that it's the boring bit, but it's the first bit you sort out.
Yeah.
So yeah, I sorted out that. And then I suppose the second boring bit was setting up the savings account. I was finding a good rate. So I set up the savings account, and then I set up my beloved spreadsheet. I have different categories, so like a category for me, a category for David, a category for bridesmaids, category for the groomsmen, like decorations, and then they're split into like civil ceremony, and then you've got things like parents, like presents for parents or any accommodation. And I had lots of different categories. I had what we'd budgeted for each thing.
How do you even know what to budget, though? Because I don't think I would, even though, like, I'm in the wedding industry, I really wouldn't know, like, how much different things would cost.
Yeah, some of it was very finger in the air. Mm. So I think they do say, like, think about everything costs £1,000 with something. Like, so I was like, right. To be fair, some of the budget I couldn't fill in until I got prices. So yeah. I would say go to different people and get prices off people.
Yeah.
To be honest, like, I did over, like, I didn't go over my budget because I put like stupid amounts for some things.
Yeah.
And I came in like under quite a few of them as well. But I suppose it's better to be.
Oh, definitely. Better to be on the higher side and then.
Exactly.
Be within your expectations.
Yeah. So, I set up my spreadsheet. I did research as well as what different things that you definitely need it for your wedding. And then I started, like, Instagram is great for like researching all the different suppliers that are around here.
Yeah,
that I really would recommend using Instagram. And Instagram is great for hashtags as well, so ideas. So like people say Pinterest is good, and I loved Pinterest.
Yeah,
like pinning ideas, but I used Instagram. Like I followed hashtags like autumn wedding, October wedding, that kind of thing. Mm. You can save pictures and you can categorize just like you can do with Pinterest. Yeah. So like literally my saved items in Instagram, I'm going to have to go through them actually because they're just full of ideas.
That's such a good tip though, because I don't think people realize you can follow hashtags and you can save pictures.
Yeah.
I think you're the first person that I've spoken to that's like mainly used Instagram, which is quite interesting really.
Yeah, so like Pinterest, don't get me wrong, Pinterest is good, but with some of the ideas, like there's a lot of American things on there for me, and although you might be able to pinch some of them are totally unrealistic or you wouldn't be able to get in this country, or like it just wouldn't look right. So going on Instagram, you can go on like UK weddings as well, and like you can see where the person's from. And yeah, I think I used Instagram more than Pinterest, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I think I've only just stopped following, like, autumn weddings because because they're just beautiful, like, all the colours and everything, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's exciting. So what did you actually plan first? Did you go dress shopping?
Yeah, so dress shopping. Oh, right. So advice for anyone, don't jump in and pick the first dress, even if you feel pressured, because that's what I did. So I went dress shopping with my best friend Nicole, and I went with my mum, and we tried dresses on, and I think you're all caught up in the emotion, and it's a new thing, and it's like one of the first things that we did, dress shopping. So I was trying these dresses on, and it was kind of like, do you like it or do you not? The woman at the shop, it was very like, we'll get your top three and then we have to cut them. And I was like, all right. So it felt like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And it got to trying the last two on, and mum started crying at the dress, and my mum never cries. Like, she is not a crier whatsoever.
No.
And Nicole was crying. So I was like, oh, well, this is going to be the one.
Yeah.
And I did feel a lot of pressure to go with it.
How did you feel when they were crying? Did you feel like it was the one, or were you just not really sure?
I was a bit like, oh, well, they're crying, so I must look good in it. I've got like a few body hang-ups, which I'm sure most women do.
Oh, definitely.
And mine is my back. I had quite a broad back. Well, I thought I did, or broad shoulders.
You know, I'd love your figure though.
But
you've got such a good figure.
It's one of those things that I was quite self-conscious about, especially doing CrossFit, and like the muscles that you use in your shoulders. I felt almost like I had like quite built up shoulders, which I don't, but back then I was like, oh yeah, we're quite self-conscious about it. So but mum were crying, Nicole was crying, so I was like, oh well, I suppose this has got to be the one, hasn't it? Like, my mum doesn't cry, so I must look good. So I went with it, put the deposit down, and then about a month later, I started looking at my dress online, and I was like, wait a minute, what's the back like? Even though I was self-conscious about my back, I hadn't looked at my back properly in it. So about a couple of months, I was like, no, I'm going to have to go and try it on. Like, my head's gone weird. I'm starting to think I don't like it. So I went to try it on and I said, I need to look at the back. And also, this is another thing, they didn't let you take pictures.
I remember you saying that.
So I think the fact that I couldn't see myself in it, apart from a mirror image, I didn't know how I photographed in it. And I know you're pinned into it, so I was... So I went back and I said, please, can I have a photograph? And because I'd bought the dress, they said, yes, I was fine photographing it. So I photographed it and I looked at the picture and I went, no. I was like, I can't, I don't like it.
No.
And that was horrible because they were saying, oh, well, we can add this and add that. And I was like, I can't, I don't want to spend any more money on this dress. I don't like it. I've fallen out of love with it, even though I don't think I was in love with it in the first place.
Kind of got caught up in the emotion of it all.
Exactly. So I spoke to my mum, like, I just said to them, I was like, can I cancel it? You can't cancel it. So I spoke to my mum outside. I said, mum, I can't, I really can't do this. I don't like the dress. And she said, no, your dress has to be perfect. And if you don't like it, we'll have to get you a new one. So dress shopping started again.
Did you just go to that one shop at that point? Or
yes, just the one shop. And if I had any advice for everyone, it would be just try a few different options. Just, if anything, to get the experience of different shops. And also look at the reviews of shops as well.
Yeah.
Because my experience there was nothing like I'd experienced at other shops. For example, I went to Love Story Bridal. Now, this isn't where I got my dress from, but I got my veil from there.
Yeah.
And they were amazing. They let me take pictures. They made it so fun. I only went with my mum from then on, just so that because my mum isn't a crier. So, and she was.
Yeah. There's no like emotional attachment. It's just like, is this right?
Straight to the point.
Let's be sensible. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Because a lot of money were getting spent on their two dresses. So, and to be honest, like, we spent most weekends, me and my mum, or evenings going dress shopping. So I have been to a lot of dress shops to the point where I was getting fed up of dress shopping.
Yeah. Well, you were like a pro, weren't you, now?
Yeah. So I can tell you the ones that I really enjoyed and the ones that I didn't so much. But yeah, Love Story Bridal, that was probably one of my best experiences there. Like I said, I got my veil from there, but I just didn't find any dresses that I thought, this is the one. And it was, I suppose, a bit, going to lots of different dress shops and trying lots of different dresses on, you get bits where you're like, I like that, but I don't like that bit. And I like this and I don't like that. I eventually went to a shop in Harrogate and I fell in love with Caroline Castigliano dress, and they are expensive, like stupidly expensive. And the price that we were getting quoted was awful. Like, I couldn't, like David said, no, you need, because he knew the stress that I was going through about a dress. It's like, it needs to be right. If we need to spend this money, we'll find cuts somewhere else in the wedding and we'll spend that. And I was like, no, because I was the figures person. I was the one that were controlling the budget. And literally that night, I did not sleep one bit. Like, I was downstairs on the sofa not sleeping because I thought, I can't spend that amount of money on the dress that I love. What do I do? Because it's the only dress that I've actually gone, wow, this is the one.
I think when you find something like that as well, you just can't think about any other dress then, can you?
No, not at all. And it's weird because literally the day after, so getting no sleep, the day after, I was on Instagram again on the shop in Harrogate on their website, and they were having a sample sale. And a dress, very, very, very similar, just apart from one detail of the lace on the bodice, it was going in the sample sale. So I rang them up and it was like a quarter of the price. It was ridiculous. So I rang them up and said, please, can I come in and try this on like ASAP? And they said, yeah, come in. So I went and tried it on and I was like, this is it. Like, so it needed to be taken in a lot.
Yeah.
And also I didn't. So it was just the dress, like it was A-line style dress with like a boob, like strapless.
Yeah.
And I was self-conscious about my back. So I wanted something to cover it. And so I could style it as I wanted to. So I had like...
A bolero.
Yeah, a bolero made for it. And I designed it all myself. I chose the fabric or the lace. So I could have it in the style that I would feel comfortable and confident on my wedding day. And it actually worked really well because it was like... 3/4 sleeves. I wanted it 3/4 sleeves, so it drew attention to my waist.
Yeah.
but it was long enough to like match the season of autumn.
It was gorgeous, absolutely gorgeous.
To be honest, I had a lot of people saying, I didn't expect you to be in a dress like this, but I styled that, like the top made it for me.
Yeah.
I loved it, and it all came within budget. And
that's amazing.
I didn't have sleepless nights over something that would have cost a stupid amount anymore.
Yeah.
But it was weird. Like, literally, I woke up the next day and that dress was on Instagram. So
meant to be.
Yeah, exactly. So if people are struggling, use Instagram, look at the sample sales.
Yeah.
Because they do, like, dress shops put them on there.
Yeah.
So.
And your dress also gave you the option to have like a different look in the evening time as well.
Yes. So in the evening, I took the bolero off. So I had a strapless dress. And by that point, I was quite drunk. So I wasn't self-conscious at all about anything.
You have no need. I know, like you say, like, everyone has their own body hang-ups. But honestly, you don't need to be self-conscious at all.
No. Like, I loved, like, everything on that day, on the wedding day. I loved the dress in the day and I loved the dress in the evening. The only thing is that I didn't expect, because it was corseted, my mum had to like tie me into it quite a few times. Like, literally think Kate Winslet in Titanic, like yeah, on our first dance, David picked me up and spanned me around, and I'm pretty sure that my boob nearly fell out of the dress. I was like, I wasn't drunk enough not to know that nearly happened, but I was fine.
I don't think it happened.
No. I've not got a picture of it anyway, so I'm sure it didn't happen.
No, I didn't see anything. No. And then the other parts of your wedding day that I really want to talk to you about is the DIY element.
Yes.
Because you are the craftiest person. I know. And you went to so much effort with all, like, even like the really like intricate details.
Yeah.
Within your wedding day. So let's talk about some of the things that you made for your wedding, because I bet that like helped you keep within your budget as well, and it made it more personal, I guess.
Because of things like the dress costing like more than it should and other things, I wanted to cut costs somewhere else, and the only way we're going to do that is by DIY. And I love crafting, like, I find it so therapeutic. So if anything, it probably helped me with wedding planning, because it
was calming influence.
Yeah, exactly. Like, what? Oh god, there were loads. So my invitations, my friend, her job is like designing and using Photoshop and things like that. She uses programs like that. So I had an idea in my head of the invitations, and that one weekend we spent designing my invitations and got them printed. So that saved a lot of money. I saved money there on the invitations, using friends and family. I would say go to friends and family who you know have certain skills if you lack in them. So that, for example, my cake was made by my sister-in-law. She is...
And it looks amazing.
Like, she just bakes in her spare time. She literally needs to go on the Great British Bake Off. And her cakes were amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, she made the cake and it looked professional and it was great. And it, again, a personal touch. Then what did I make? So I picked lots of pine cones. Yes.
We did that on the engagement shoot, didn't we?
Loads of pine cones on the engagement shoot. And I had to Google how you basically use pine cones, because I didn't realise how many insects are in pine cones, by the way. So if anyone wants to use pine cones, because we use them on the tables and we put the name cards in them. So they were name card holders. Yeah. So if you want to use them, I would recommend putting them on a low heat in the oven for about an hour. And then you have to literally empty all the bugs out of them. And I had, when I counted them all up, I think I had 140 pine cones that I had collected.
How long did that take to bake?
A long time. And the house smelled a bit weird as well.
Did it not smell like Christmas trees? Or
does it smell like Christmas? I thought it would. When you think of pine, you think, oh, yeah, it'll smell like that. No, it doesn't. Yeah. It has a bit of a funky smell, but...
No.
Yeah, so 140 pine cones. And we didn't need all that. We didn't need that many. We didn't have 140 guests, but...
No.
So I've still got lots of pine cones. In fact, actually, I made a pine cone wreath at Christmas with some of the leftover pine cones. So yeah, we had pine cones that we collected. And also it was quite nice because me and David collected them together. So it was we went for walks and we collected the pine cones. So it is a nice thing to do together. Yeah, and he was baking pine cones with me. So we were taking it in turns.
Yeah.
I made the backdrop So the photo backdrop, I'd literally just bought a frame, used an old, well, I say old white sheet, it was not been used, got some cheap material from the Range and some eucalyptus, some fake eucalyptus, and put it up, and then I'd...
Like a photo booth.
A photo booth, basically, so yeah. Save money there.
Your confetti?
Yeah, confetti, so... That was another thing that we did, collecting lots of autumn leaves, flowers as well from David's mum's garden, lots of like hydrangea petals. Actually, in fact, it was Janet mainly that did a lot of that leaf collecting.
Yeah.
And you have to almost dry them out, but not to a point where they shatter.
Yeah.
And then we had to punch holes. So we had butterflies and hearts. And Janet, to be fair, did... like I said, most of it. So she
did
was great.
Did you have to do that like the year before? Like,
no. Did it like the year of. So I think we did it in September. We got married in October and we started in September. And just punched lots and lots of holes. And we used brown paper and Rebecca's typewriter.
To make confetti cones.
Make confetti cones. And then we put the confetti in them. And we used an old picnic basket of Janet's and put them in there. Yeah. So it, like, yeah, that was the colours of the confetti was amazing. Oh, though. Like, I love them. And then when it went in my hair, I didn't want to take it out of my hair because I was like, I just feel like an autumn princess almost. Yeah. Yeah, the confetti was like really pretty, and then the favors on the tables. So I made homemade fudge, and I didn't just go with the one flavor, I went with three flavors. I like to make things difficult. And so I made homemade fudge, which was really easy and really cheap.
And it's nice, again, it's so personal. And I think those personal touches make such a difference as well. Yeah. Like, people appreciate them.
Yeah, and because not everyone has a sweet tooth, we used the apples from Janet, so David's mum, Janet's garden, the apples out of her garden.
Janet's coming in handy, isn't she?
Oh, God, she was a godsend. She did loads of, like, prepping for it. It was amazing. So she made, with the apples, like, we went round and helped her, although when I say helped, we were, like, sat there at the kitchen table while she made it.
Yeah.
We made apple chutney. So you can do that like a few months in advance, as long as it's like in sealed jars and then in the fridge. So we made that, sterilizing every single jar was, we did that. Me and David went round, and me, David and Janet, I think, did we do it the week of the wedding? Like a few days leading up, we went round and sterilized every single jar. So there were a lot of jars, and I made the stickers as well that went on the jars. I got a stamp made. I designed the stamp and stamped the stickers and put stickers all the like around the jars. The jars were really cheap as well. I got them from Wilkinson's, the little jars.
Oh, really?
So everything, these little touches, they were personal and they were cheap as well. So and then we put chutney in all the jars and then put little twine around them, and they look really cute on the...
Yeah, they did.
Yeah, on the with the fudge, because we put the fudge in brown boxes, and I made stickers again and like designed the stickers and in like the theme of my invitations and put them on the boxes. But literally, we were packing. Yeah, we were fudge packing boxes the night before the wedding.
No,
I literally had, which was brilliant as well. So we had me, my best friend, David's best man, and David's best man's partner. She just got involved, and we were literally getting greaseproof paper and packing all this fudge into these little boxes, ready to go in the morning. So if anything as well, advice, accept help, because I was going to try and do that all the night before. And that's, I think, the only time that I showed where I was really, really stressed. But then in the morning, I was fine.
Yeah.
Because everything went
was
to plan.
Done.
Yeah.
You also made some little biscuits as well, didn't you?
I was blown away
by them.
Biscuits. So then again, the week of the wedding, I went round to David's sister because she's the baker. She enjoys baking. And we went round and she made the biscuits and we rolled fondant icing, and I coloured the fondant icing to be like an orangey green, like autumnal colours.
Like,
and we
a marble.
Put, yeah. And then put like gold glitter in them and put like a thank you in them. And we gave them as thank you like presents to some of the suppliers. And we also put them in the children's favors. So for the children, there's a lot of children in like both sides of the family. Like, so I think we had about 10 there. So my mum fosters, so there were quite a few children there as well. Yeah. And then I've got nephews and nieces, and David's side, they've got like nephews and nieces. And I was like, I can't afford a children entertainer. Like, no. What am I going to do? Well, I don't think I can anyway. What can I do? So I literally bought some brown bag, because also, and trying to be sustainable with some of the stuff as well.
Yeah.
I did think that was important. So where I could be, I was trying to be sustainable, like making stuff yourself. It's very easy to do.
Yeah.
So like confetti, for instance, that's biodegradable because it's literally leaves and flower petals. Yeah. So yeah, you use brown bags, and then we put in there just like the biscuits, and then we put a camera in there, and they went down really well. So they could play I Spy with a disposable camera.
Yeah.
And even the adults were loving that because it was very old school. Like, they were going around and taking pictures. And then I put like activity books in there and pencil crayons. And literally I just picked these things up like in the sale when you went to Asda, or, you know, like when it was back to school. Yeah. Actually, I got a lot of stuff in the back to school in September time.
Yeah.
I made a palette that showed the order of events. So I think that was 2 weekends before the wedding. I was staying up late painting, using chalk, and then painting this order of events palette.
So like the timings of your day.
Yeah.
On a palette. That's in keeping with the theme as well, like autumn.
Oh, my table plan I made as well. I hired some apple crates, piled them on top of each other, bought some cheap frames from the range, and put the names in there. And then Millie, my florist, added the floral bits to it. God, there were another thing as well. Sorry. I've got loads. When I think back to it, I made blanket. I got some cheap blankets from Wilkinson's, tied twine round, like rolled them up, tied twine round them, and put a bit of eucalyptus in there, and put them in like the walkway, like that was just literally outside the door, and put like a little sign there again with a cheap frame from the range, and you just print out on some card, and it said like to have and to hold in case you get cold, and so people could have blankets in the evening.
So
and
thoughtful.
they all got used as well. Mm-hmm. I did see things like this on Instagram, and literally I got lots of ideas from Instagram, and those blankets went down a hit, and I think I picked them up for about £3 each from Wilkinson's. So it's just, what I did try and do is, if I saw something and it was cheap, just pick it up there.
Yeah, you can always take it back, can't you?
Yeah, and those blankets were, I think, for about a year. I had them for about a year before I did anything with them.
Was your spare room like your wedding planning studio?
Yeah, literally. My house isn't very big, and one of the rooms was just full, all full of wedding stuff that we had to take over. So, yeah.
So looking back now, what was your favourite part of the wedding? Like when you're looking back, you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh, God, that's a good question, because I loved all of it.
Yeah.
Like from walking down the aisle to David and just having that massive smile on my face and saying our vows to each other. I love the morning of the wedding, just how like chilled it was and how much fun we had.
Yeah.
Pictures, just us two by ourselves. Like that was nice when you took the pictures when we just went off on our own.
Yeah.
Because to be honest, that was probably one of the only times that we were on our own.
I think I said that to you, because you're not driving around. It's hard for you guys just to have a bit of time for you. And when you do go off and have your pictures, it is nice just to like say, hi, how are you?
Yeah.
Like, ah, oh, we're married.
And I remember you saying like, slow down, you don't need to walk so fast. But I actually walk that fast normally. Yeah. So it was quite weird to be like, all right, okay. I can't.
Let's just enjoy this.
The speeches, I love the speeches as well. Like my dad, like his speech was lovely, and David, the things that he said, because like I said, David's not a very gushy person, so for David to say all that stuff about me was lovely as well. Things like my dad honouring my, like saying about my nana, because my mum had got me a present as well. She got my nana's ashes put in a little like brooch, and we put that on my bouquet.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, so my nana could be with me.
Yeah.
On my day. So I don't think there's one bit that I can literally pinpoint and say
loved it all.
I literally loved every second. And when they say like I wish I could go back and relive it, I do, it's almost like I wouldn't want to go back because I wouldn't want anything to change. Like everything for me was absolutely perfect, even to the weather, just everything. And then in the evening, this is like quite funny. In the evening, I think David's like disappeared about 11 o'clock. And I was like, where's David? Like, where's my husband? Like, it felt weird. But I was like, where's David gone? I went into the cottage. That's where you spend the night. I went into the cottage and he was there, fully clothed, shoes on, lying on the bed, asleep.
Oh, no.
So I was like, okay. So I was trying waking him up, like, David, come on. Like, you're missing the wedding. Like the wedding evening. And nothing. I was like, right, should I leave you for half an hour and I'll come back and wake you up just before the end so you don't miss the end of the wedding? And he was like, I think. So I was like, right, okay. So I went, had a bit of a dancing to Papa Roach at my wedding.
Why not?
Brilliant. So, and then I thought, right, I'm going to have to get David because he's literally going to miss the end of the wedding now. So I went back and there were no waking him up. No waking him. So I was just like shaking him, trying to turn him. It's like, no, he's not waking. So I turned him over because in my head I was like, well, if he's really drunk, he might be sick. So I put him in the recovery position. Fully clothed in his wedding suit. Like, I think his flower thing got squished. Anyway, yeah, put him in recovery position. I was like, right, I'm going to have to finish the wedding by myself.
Why not?
Yeah, I had a well good time. I had a proper good dance on the dance floor. Finished the wedding. Went back and they left because we had pizzas in the evening and we didn't really get much chance to eat them. So what they do is they leave you two pizzas that you order.
Oh, amazing.
Order before and they leave you them in the cottage.
Yeah.
So I went up and I grabbed some wedding cake and some, because we had a donut wall as well. I grabbed some Krispy Kremes. I'm there and literally went, David, come on, you're going to have to wake up now. And there were no waking him whatsoever. So he's on our, like, marital bed.
Passed out, fully clothed.
Passed out. I have to get a corset dress off as well. So that was hilarious because I was falling all over. And so my wedding night was in the spare room in the cottage with pizza, cake and donuts. It was amazing.
What a way to end your wedding, eh?
Yeah, my wedding night was like fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Just eating pizza and cake in bed.
That's absolutely brilliant.
I managed to get out of the dress just. So like there's little things like that. Like I found it hilarious that he fell asleep.
Yeah.
And I ended up with pizza in bed.
Brilliant.
That's not my favourite bit, but no. It's one that makes me laugh constantly.
Well, it's your story, isn't it? But yeah, that is absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. Well, obviously I was there and it was absolutely brilliant, but hearing just little things like that is so much fun.
Yeah.
So like, thank you.
You hear things as well from other people as well. Like David supposedly hit his head at one point and he can't remember. Like, and he were having Jaeger bombs on the dance floor. I'm not surprised he was so drunk.
Yeah.
And passed out. Oh, and just by the way, he was totally fine. Like in the morning, he was okay. But another thing to add to that story. He woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning, panicked, and he was like, oh my God, I'm missing the wedding. Ran downstairs.
Okay, it's all done.
Obviously,
now, David.
I've locked up. So he thought he was locked in the cottage and he messaged his mum, his best man, me, saying, oh my God, I'm missing the wedding. I can't get out. I'm trapped in the cottage. And then I don't know why he didn't look at the time first before he messaged us all.
Yeah.
Saved us all.
Oh,
and then he was like, oh, it's 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So I'd heard all this and I was like, David, are you okay? He was like, yeah. I was like, do you want to get into bed? So we spent did we both eat pizza then as well? No, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we ate pizza then. He got into bed and we ate pizza and then we fell asleep.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, it's funny. Little funny stories, but yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Libby. It's been amazing chatting to you.
It's amazing
been,
chatting
it's been
to
really
you.
Fun.
Yeah. I've enjoyed talking about it.
Yeah, I bet. You'll go and find David now and hopefully share some more memories with each other.
Yeah, he probably can hear me in the front room, to be fair.
Thank you so much for listening, guys. And don't forget to rate, review and subscribe to help this podcast grow.